Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And another week. Thank you so much for joining us, and great to be here, as always, and excited. Got a great show planned for you today, and as always, you can check out all of our other segments, excuse me, a little frog in my throat there, at knowyourriskradio.com, and you know, if you're listening to this, hopefully, it's informative and gives you some good insight and some good information, and you want to hear the rest of the show, and maybe you're on your way to the supermarket or something like that, or Costco, the weekend Costco run, and you're not able to hear the whole thing, but you can go to knowyourriskradio.com and catch the end of it for you finance nerds out there. You got to hear all the different things that are going on. But let's start, as always, with a market update. Let's get into that. We're also going to talk a little bit about valuations and valuing stocks. We talk about valuations all the time. For those of you that don't know, we're value investors, meaning we're not chasing the new fads or the highest flying stocks. We're looking for things that are undervalued. So we're going to kind of approach that from a different angle and hopefully give you a better picture of what that means. We're also going to talk about some political developments and what they mean. Tariffs, we talked a little bit about it last week, but we're going to get a little more into that. We got some more information about that. And but first, let's just look at the markets. Heck of a bounce back. Again, for those of you that don't know, we record this show on Friday. And I'm one of the few guys that doesn't do it live on Saturday. The reason I don't is because I'm gone all week long and I would like to see my children grow up. So the weekends are kind of sacred. But as of right now, we've got markets just soaring to the upside. I wish I could tell you why. I think if you listen to, if you want reasons why markets go up like this or down, turn on CNBC. I'll give you a warning. You're going to get reasons. They're not going to mean anything. Okay. It, you know, nobody really knows. The reason markets are up today is because more people want to buy than sell. That's why. Okay. So also everybody's decided, you know, we've gone from tariffs are the worst thing in the world to they're the best thing in the world. I want to get into that later because I've got some views that may not be very popular on this station, right? Let's face it, the people that listen to this station are conservative. Now, there's a reason why we advertise on this station. We are too, right? But every once in a while, political ideology conflicts with reality. And we're going to talk about tariffs. And I'm not saying there isn't a reason to impose tariffs. There is. China's not playing by the rules. What I would have liked to have seen, though, I would have liked to have seen Donald Trump, President Trump, I would have liked to have seen him use them as a threat, more of a threat, and I guess he can always repeal them, but more of a threat to negotiate with. Because politically speaking, and I was having a conversation earlier this morning with a client of mine, and I said, look, politically speaking, you know, President Trump says some out there things. I personally wish he wouldn't tweet as much. I wish that he'd be a little bit more walk softly and carry a big stick. I think he's carrying a big stick and walking like a 1,000-pound gorilla. But, you know, there is something that he's doing that I think a lot of us on the conservative side of it have been sitting there going, hey, where has this been for 40 years, right? which is let's quit tiptoeing around and relying on hopes of diplomacy and, you know, getting into these diplomatic negotiations as if the table is equal, right? As if we're sitting across the table from our peers. We're not. We're the world's greatest superpower in the history of mankind. We've got the greatest military in the history of mankind. We've got the biggest economy in the history of mankind. So let's act like it. Because I can guarantee you, if the roles were reversed and China was the world's superpower, they wouldn't be dancing around like so many of our friends on the other side of the aisle would like us. Oh, you've got to be careful. We heard it all before, right? Reagan was going to start a nuclear holocaust. And right, every time you step out with, you know, some tenacity or you pound the table, everybody freaks out. Half the country freaks out. Oh, they're going to start a war. These people aren't suicidal. Kim Jong-un was never going to start a war with us. I mean, unless he was a complete nut job, which I think he is. But he's not suicidal, right? Dictators, we've seen this one after another in the Middle East. They talk a really big game until they think or they stare down the possibility of those tanks rolling across their borders. Now, I'm not saying we should threaten war every single time to negotiate, but I will say, on the plus side of things, that Donald Trump is proving a lot of us right, which is quit playing mealy-mouthed liberal politics and step up and wield the big club you've got. Now, I'm hoping it doesn't backfire because part of this is, listen, tariffs don't help anybody. Now, if he's able to leverage those into fairer trade negotiations, fantastic. But I see this schism happening right now, this divide, especially with conservatives, that we've got to back up everything Trump does. And I'm not going to judge him. It's just we're just getting started. But tariffs for the sake of tariffs, look, it's no good. We believe in free markets. We believe in free trade. Now, the flip side is you've got all these people, again, the left, no matter what he does, they're gonna cry and moan about it, right? It's ridiculous. If our former president was imposing this, they'd probably sit back and, well, you know, that's a really good tactical, you know, we all know the gist. But on an economic basis, tariffs of and by themselves are not positives, not for anybody. So we got to see what he does with them. Hopefully he's able to, you know, by signing him into existence, the world knows he's not bluffing about it. So that could open up more negotiations if they level out NAFTA. You know, there are good things that can come of it, but let's not abandon our free market principles. Let's hope that he's able to use this to create more free markets and a more level playing field. Because a trade war is good for nobody. And again, I'm hoping he's using it as leverage, but one of his tweets said something to the effect of, trade wars are great, they're easy to win. It's just, that's factually incorrect. Okay, so I hope he's using it as leverage. I hope he's not adopting this as the way that we want to go about doing things. So we'll end up paying it, and it'll be in the form of inflation and higher prices and things of that nature. But like I said, hopefully he's using it as a negotiation ploy. Now, let's get into the market here. Basically, the story for this week is up. Once again, everything's up. everything. The only thing that's not up is volatility. It's still hanging in pretty high compared to where it's been for the last 3 years, or last 4 or 5 years, really. So that's something we want to keep an eye on. But as of today, right now, the VIX is at 15, which is, look, historically, that means there's very low risk. Now, that's elevated compared to where it's been over the last 3 or 4 years, but we've had this massive short volatility environment, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to volatility in the next 2 weeks. But everything's up. I mean, everything. Even gold's up a little bit, which is odd. Interest rates continue to be mildly tame, which I don't think. I mean, we're up at 2.9. Rates have gone up significantly in the last 6 months, which is, again, it goes back to our call about bonds. Like, you know, it's if you still got bonds in your portfolio, do not put them into stocks, but you need to find an alternative. I think we've got a really good one that we talk about all the time. you know, the fixed indexed annuity, and I said it, the dirty word annuity. And not for those of you that haven't listened to the show before, they really need to rename these, because when we think annuities, we think of income products. That's not what these are. We're using them as a bond alternative. They give us 60, 70% of the upside of the stock market with no management fee. They've been phenomenal. But anyway, that story continues to go. Now, as this market surges higher, NASDAQ is above its all-time highs. So that we call that a breakout. It's got to close there. We'll see where it closes. But it looks like that's going to happen today. It looks to me like this market wants to break higher. Does that mean that we're getting more aggressive? No, because we don't time markets. Remember? But I'm going to say something fairly controversial, because I got into a conversation. Now, I got to save that for the client of the week, the question of the week. We'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. But I'm going to say something controversial that's a break from what I've been talking about for 2 years. And I'll explain why. And unlike a lot of other financial shows, I'm gonna put my neck out there a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we're right. But I want to give you the real live information, the real take, the things that we're actually looking at. And, you know, I want to let you know what we're actually thinking, not just trying to round up money, not just trying to speak the line and, you know, make you buy into this or that. We're going to give it to you straight. So that'll be coming up in the client question of the week, which I thought was fascinating. And but what we're looking at here, though, just to reiterate, and we're going to get into this next segment about rebalancing. If you're one of those people, maybe you listen to me because you view the opposite, you look at things differently than I do. You're trying to get the other side of the coin. We're obviously concerned. Stock markets have never been this highly valued ever, period. Regardless of what anybody says, I don't know why they say what they do. You know, client asked me today, well, if the market's well overvalued, why do guys like Jim Cramer say it's cheap? You know, Jim Cramer said it was cheap in 2000 and 2008. I don't know. I don't understand what those people are looking at. Although I will say that, you know, keep in mind something. You hear things, or you hear good stock recommendations here or there. When you're listening to people, you need to look at what their performance is. And what I can tell you is that the guys like Jim Cramer of the world, they have vastly underperformed the market for the last 20 years. Maybe not vastly, but you'd have been better off just buying an S&P 500 ETF than listening to their stock recommendations. So you got to keep that in mind too. And again, not trying to pick on Jim Cramer. I think he's an honest guy. I think he means well. There are investors and there are cheerleaders. I think Jim Cramer's a little bit more of a cheerleader. Very smart, knows the market, but I have never heard him say sell something because it was too valuable. It's just not the way he rolls. So anyway, we'll be back. We're going to get into rebalancing in the next segment, and we're going to kind of tie that in. It'll kind of be a market update times two. We got the client of the week coming, client comment of the week coming up. That'll be in one of our later segments. We're also going to revisit inflation again and talk about some of the signs that we're seeing. So hopefully you can stick with us. Hopefully we'll teach you some things that are relatable to you. And as always, if you want to listen to how we're lowering our clients' exposure, but we're still participating in the upside of the market, you know, our average client last year, that was in our managed accounts, 50% in our managed accounts, 50% in our, fixed index annuity strategy, which is replacement for bonds. We outperformed the average 75-25 stock bond portfolio, and we did it at half the cost. Okay, so if you want to know how we're doing that, which is a perfect portfolio for right now because stocks are at record highs, we want to benefit from it, but we don't want to be there, you know, holding the bag when it inevitably ends, because every run does. We're not trying to say when, we're just saying, hey, it's a good time to be defensive. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the show website at knowyourriskradio.com. Listen to some of our other podcasts, interviews we've done with industry experts and our resident guest, Dory Monson. And hopefully we can give you some good information. So stick with us through the break. We got to run, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Man, the stock market's really been on a wild ride. I'm so happy our retirement portfolio that Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital Management built is specifically designed for volatility. Zach, stocks and bonds go down at the same time. How's that possible?
Dory, great question. We've been trying to warn people for a long time. Interest rates are at historic lows. They basically can only go up from here. As interest rates go up, bonds lose money regardless of what's going on in the stock market. You've got to have a different safety net in your portfolio other than bonds.
This is your retirement. Get a second opinion. Schedule a free risk review with Zach. He'll show you a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio compared to the strategy he would recommend. It's exactly how the Monsons became a client of Bulwark Capital. Call now. Schedule a risk review. Get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management, a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about rebalancing a little bit. And I'm going to tie it directly into the markets. And it's a little bit different. When we talk about rebalancing a lot, most of us think of the whole idea, and I digress, but let me go back and make sure we set this up correctly. The whole idea of rebalancing, let's say, for the sake of argument, you're an old school investor and you're 60% stocks, 40% bonds, okay? And you do that because that's the risk-adjusted portfolio. Remember the name of the show, Know Your Risk Radio? Our portfolios should reflect our risk appetite, meaning if a 30% loss would seriously derail our retirement, and it's too big for us to stomach, we shouldn't have more of that. We shouldn't be exposed to a portfolio that in most circumstances would expose us to that much risk. So let's say that a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is what you should have. Well, when stocks go up, like they have for 9 years straight now, when stocks continue to go up, those percentages get skewed, right? All of a sudden, 60-40 turns into 80-20. So what do? You take off the stock side, you add to the bonds, and you do what we call rebalance the portfolio. Now, when we inside of the stock portion of the portfolio, we also need to be aware of rebalancing scenarios. And usually this isn't a big deal because usually we see relative uniformity going across markets. A rising tide lifts all ships. It lifts some certain sectors more than others, but usually there's a pretty uniform move, okay? Well, the move is specifically in the last 4 to 5 years of the stock market has not been uniform at all. It has been very, very, very tech heavy, okay? So now, as of right now today, tech stocks, you know, think Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, probably all the stuff that you home gamers have in your portfolios, because everybody does. I can't tell you the last time I sat down with a client that managed their own portfolio or had individual stock holdings that didn't own some combination of the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, NVIDIA. If you think you're alone in owning those, you're not. Everybody does. Very reminiscent of the tech bubble, 99. Now, that's anecdotal, right? So I'm going to give you a factual representation of how it's a lot like the tech bubble. For the first time since 2000, those tech companies now make up, in terms of market cap weighting, about 25% of the S&P 500. That is the highest participating ratio. That's one sector, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, or you can't correct me. It's my show. But I could be a little bit off here, but I believe we've got 13 different sectors inside the S&P 500, maybe 12. But it's the first time that any sector, let alone tech, has made up 25% of the S&P 500, even though it's only one sector out of 12. Okay? So we're right back to tech bubble highs. Now, we don't try to time markets. I'm not saying the market's going to collapse. I'm not saying tech's going out of town. I'm not saying that tech's going to implode like it. I mean, if history's a guide, which I'm a big student of history, we talk about that on the show all the time. As good as it's been for tech, it's going to be just as bad. Mark my words. It's the way economies work. You have margin compression. All the money flows into one sector. Everybody owns it. Because of that, competition picks up. Margins get squeezed. And the same thing that rode a sector high is what becomes its nemesis on the downside. It's just, it's the way it always works. This time is not different, guys. It never is. Now, the question is, when does that happen? We don't know. Nobody knows. So what do we do as responsible investors? Right now, you should be pulling back your tech exposure. I'm not telling you to sell everything, but what you should be doing, you should be pulling it back to its where it's more reflective of the long-term average. So maybe where it's making up, you know, maybe you don't want it more than, you know, 10 to 15% of your portfolio. Now, you can disagree with me all you want. What I'm talking about are true time-tested rules. We do not want 25% of our stock exposure. And here's the catch. If you own an S&P 500 ETF, if you're one of these Vanguard guys, which I like Vanguard, I'm not knocking it, but that means that you need to do some interesting things with your holdings, because if you own the S&P 500 ETF, you're way overweight tech. So you need to do some diversifying. And if you think tech's going to forever and beyond, God help you. I'm glad you're doing it with your money and not mine. And I know these things are hard to think about when all you do is see green numbers all the time and new all-time highs and stocks going up. But let me show you. I want to speak a little bit anecdotally about this and kind of explain it to you. And it's a tough thing to do over the air. It's tough to do in person. But I want to kind of walk you through it and see if we can't make some sense out of it. So we're going to use Netflix as an example, okay? Now, I know a lot of you probably out there own Netflix. And if you do, you've made great money. Congratulations. It was a good pick, and you probably did great. I mean, Netflix is now up 72% in the last 6 months. Or no, excuse me. I think it's up 72% since January 1. It's just gone on an astronomical tear. Now, is that good? You betcha. If you own the stock, it's phenomenal. Okay, I'm not, I don't think everything's horrible, right? Yeah, so we're up. Yeah, we were 180 on Netflix, 200 at the end of the year. Yeah, so, I mean, we're approaching almost 100% gains in the last 4 months. Okay, do you know what we call this, guys? And I'm just telling you, you know what you call this? You call this a blow-off top. Okay, because their revenue growth has not picked up. Their cash burn has not slowed down. There is absolutely zero reason for this. What this is what we call multiple expansion. Netflix, for the last 5 years, has been one of the most expensive stocks on the market. And that valuation has been right around 180 to 200 PE, price to earnings ratio. Based on next year's earnings, which I always think it's funny when people talk about forward earnings, nobody knows the future, but we like to talk about it because it makes things look cheaper. Netflix is at 108 times forward earnings, okay? But we don't deal with what we can't see. We deal with earnings multiples that have to do, you know, what I always say is forward earnings estimates are what you use when you're trying to sell something. Trailing 12 earnings estimates are what you use when you're trying to buy something, right? If you're a buyer, you're sitting there going, wait a second, I'm not going to take your word for it, what you think it's going to make next year. I'm going to pay you a price that's reflective of what it's done, which makes sense. And you can extrapolate that over to sports, right? Especially in football, there's an old adage that you never want to play up. It's kind of a tongue twister. You never want to pay a player for what they've done. You want to pay them for what you think they're going to do. Okay? So getting back to the Netflix scenario, what have we seen? Has there been an underlying change in Netflix business? Has there been a pickup in revenue growth? No. They've maintained right around that 23 to 25% revenue growth, which is good. It's nowhere close to justifying their valuation. And I'll walk you through why that is. But just getting away from a valuation stage, when we see a stock going parabolic, going up 80, 90, 100% in the last 4 months, and you can call it any other word you want, that's parabolic. A, it means you're getting close to the end. Now, that's not to say it couldn't run another 30, 40, 50%. I don't know. What I'm saying is anybody that has ideas on that for you or anybody that's going to tell you this is where it's going to go, they have no clue, because right now the price of Netflix, and I'm just picking on Netflix right now, I'm a subscriber. I love it. I'm not talking bad about it, but I'm trying to illustrate why we need to make sure we don't have too much exposure to tech. Okay? So if we are looking at the price of the stock and we see a company rolling and just doing really well, which Netflix is, they're not doing well financially. You got to remember, this is a company that's burning $4 to $5 billion a year in cash. They are not profitable. They have never been profitable. Profitable is nowhere near in sight. Okay? So keep that in mind too. But we're seeing this company grow revenue at a pretty steady pace. They've been right around that 23 to 25% annual growth in revenue for quite a while. And they've had a relatively stable valuation metric, which has been right around 10 times revenue. And it's been right around that, you know, 180 to 200 PE. Now, all of a sudden, in the last 4 months, both of those things rocketed to the upside and broke the long-term trend. So now, on a price-to-sales revenue, on a price-to-sales basis, meaning how much revenue is the company making, you know, in relation to what the stock's worth. So the market capitalization of Netflix, meaning all the shares they have outstanding, if we add them all up, it equals $142.75 billion. And they are going to do, they did $11.7 billion in revenue in the last year. So quick math is that's about 12.3 times sales, meaning if we multiply their last year's revenue by 12 times, that equals their current market cap. Now, I know that a lot of you probably don't realize what that means, but these are what we call nosebleed once-in-a-lifetime valuations. Crazy. This is 99 tech-style valuations. And there's absolutely zero justification for it. Meaning that when we break down their financials and we look at their cash flow, and let's say we extrapolate out their revenue growth for the next 5 to 7 years and assume that their revenue growth is going to stay exactly where it is, they're not going to slow down a bit, which if you're familiar with mathematics, the law of large numbers, you know that that's impossible. Okay? But let's just say we roll with it. A, we cannot sit there by looking at the current data that we know and the performance of Netflix as a company, we can't sit there and come up with a way or a date or a time in which they're even going to get cash flow positive. Because as their revenue increases, so does their cost. Again, is it a bad company? No, they've done a great job running it. It's not, you know, they don't determine what the stock price is. But this is what manias look like. And if you don't believe me, pull it up. Go look at it. $70 billion companies don't double in four months, guys. It's not possible. Yet the stock has. And this is what we look at when we talk about bubbles. It's when the prices of assets completely detach from the underlying fundamentals. And don't think about it in terms of a stock. Think about it in terms of a company. What would you say if, let's say you had $200 billion. And somebody was trying to get you to buy Netflix, and they said, I want you to pay $142 billion for it. You're going to say, well, how much profit do you guys have? They go, we don't. We're losing $4 to $5 billion a year. You go, okay, well, how much in revenue do you have? They go, well, we did $11.7 billion. You go, wait a second. You're losing $4 to $5 billion a year. You did $11.7 billion in revenue, and you want me to pay $142 billion for the company? They go, yeah, that's what it's going for. What would you say? I'd venture to guess that not one person listening to this radio show would say, sign me up. Yet I would also venture to guess there are a lot of people listening to this radio show that own it. We are in the greater fool theory of this whole market development. Am I forecasting economic catastrophe? No, there's good things happening in the economy. We've talked about that. I think we're very overdue for a recession, but I'm not saying it's the end of the world. What I am saying is if you're not disciplined about your approach and you're not keeping a balanced portfolio, and owning the S&P 500 is not a balanced portfolio. Owning an S&P 500 ETF is not a balanced portfolio, especially not right now. If you own an S&P 500 ETF, 25% of what you own is in tech, and tech is more highly valued than at any time in history, including 1999. We're right there at that 99 valuation. but you're not diversified. Now, this is just one of them. A worse offender is NVIDIA. And you're going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, but look at the girl. Look, guys, we've seen this movie before. If you're showing me a company that's $5 billion in size and it's trading at a 250, 300 PE or something like that, and they're doubling revenue every year, that's not the kind of things that we like just because there's so much volatility in them. But we might own a little bit of a company like that. Because if you're doubling revenue every year, we can slap on a really high earnings multiple of that. But they're growing revenue at 25% a year. That's not bad. It's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, regardless of which direction you think the stock's going to go, you cannot use the numbers and make sense of it in terms of an investment. But people have detached underlying performance of economies, or excuse me, well, that too, but they've detached prices from financial performance. And that lasts till it doesn't. And, you know, I think it's amazing to sit there and think of the fact that tech right now makes up 25% of the index. The highest index weighting since 2000, and it was tech back then. What happened? The NASDAQ dropped 83%. Am I saying that's going to happen again? No, but I'm also not going to tell you that this time is different. So if you've been tech heavy, you need to rebalance. That's not me telling you that these stocks are going to zero. Okay, that's not me telling you this is about being a disciplined investor. What do we want to do? Warren Buffett, we want to buy low, sell high. If you have had a full weighting to tech right now, congratulations, you've been disciplined. Now ring the register and rebalance. Because this time isn't different. It never is. And Netflix is just one of them. Amazon, same thing. I think Amazon's one of the most incredible countries in the history of mankind, or companies in the history of mankind. What they've done is incredible. But again, the valuation, now it's not as bad as Netflix, but the valuation doesn't make sense. And these Amazon's approaching a $1 trillion market cap. You think they're going to keep growing like they've been? They can't. It's large numbers. And we're reaching this hysterical, crazy point where these, I mean, look, it's not everywhere, but mainly in tech. I mean, look, I do this for a living. I love owning the high fly. You know, you want to make money, you want to do, I'm just telling you, you cannot make sense of these. So if you want to stay completely exposed and completely invested, you just need to understand that you're approaching it more like a religion. It's involving faith of things unseen, because mathematically, if we're disciplined investors, it doesn't make any sense. So what I'm telling you is that, you know, A, I'd love for you to call us, obviously, and let me walk you through our portfolio, how we're protecting clients, how we're rebalancing, making sure we're not too exposed, how we're not trying to time markets, but how we're also trying to lower the risk of our clients' exposure. And how we're doing it, and we're increasing upside and decreasing costs. And if you want to do that, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We can meet together. You can come to the office. We can meet you at a grocery store too, coffee shop and a grocery store. Jerry's laughing. I'll meet you anywhere. We also can just do a 15-minute call over the phone. You can also go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, listen to some other segments that we've done. Or you just take the advice and use it at home, right? But be disciplined, guys. Be disciplined. Don't sell out. Don't try to cash it all out. Don't try to time it, but rebalance. You need to reduce your exposure to tech. We have gone over the top. It's nuts. When I see things like Netflix that are up almost double in the last 4 months, okay, this is what we call parabolic blow-off tops. This is a very ominous sign that you are very close to the end or a capitulation point in the markets. And everybody goes, there's no recession in sight. Think back to 2000. There wasn't a recession then either. Now, the severe market drop caused a recession. It occurred later. But the tech collapse happened when everything still looked good. Valuations, valuations, valuations. Manage your risk and rebalance. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about tariffs, a little bit, and we're going to talk about inflation because they go hand in hand. So stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried about running out of money in retirement or being a burden on family members due to an extended healthcare situation? Hey, it's Story Monson. I want you to go see Brian Ott with 525 Advisors. He's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. I want you to see Brian because 3 out of 4 of us will end up in a long-term care situation during our retirement years. And if you're not prepared, it can mean watching everything you've worked hard for get whittled down by the high costs, family members off and pay a price because they're forced to put their lives on hold, but you can protect yourself and your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the new options available at Brian's next long-term care planning class. You'll learn about the newest options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. It's free. It's coming up April 7th. Brian will even give you a copy of his book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning. Sign up today. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
You bet I'm a client, Zach, and it all started with all this great info you cover in Common Sense Investing, and I would recommend that you check it out. Call now. Get your free copy. 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Went a little over on that last segment. You'll have to forgive me. I went off on a little bit of a rant there. I cannot enforce to you enough. We've been talking about expenses, and I'm going to get into that in the client question of the week. Because for those of you that have heard the show, we've said over and over, we don't try to time markets. Okay? So I want you to kind of keep that in mind. This is a forewarning or a foreshadowing of the client question of the week. But especially as it relates in tech, guys. The way we're looking at things right now, and I want to get into tariffs and inflation because that's what this segment's about. But the way that we're looking at things is there's two things that have to happen, okay? I am not one that buys the economic boom coming, okay? I think Trump's going to do as good as he can. I think he's doing the right things to get the economy humming again. I am just a student of long-term economies. I'm a few credits shy of an economics major in college, which means nothing, by the way. Some of the biggest idiots in the world are economists. So I'm not saying that that all of a sudden means that you know what you're talking about. What I am saying is that there is no precedent in financial history of economies booming out of maximum debt load. Okay, that's not the way things work. It reminds me of the cycle going back to my days in high school English. Professors were in college. My teacher at the time, Mr. Dudas, great guy, kind of quirky, but he was great at teaching English and he had a real passion for it. But we used to talk about the cycle, right? The heroic cycle, you know, and part of the heroic cycle in literature is you got to go through hell before you get to heaven, right? It's where the Eagles got the line, you know, rocking me, baby. You know, I'm a big Eagles fan, but you got to deleverage. You got to go through the pain and the good times come. You just don't go from good to good. And we're seeing that in the GDP numbers. Remember, everybody said, oh, the economy's booming. We had 5.7% economic growth in the last quarter last year. The revised number came back. It was 2.6. Then they were saying second quarter this year, it's going to be 3. Those estimates now have dropped down to 2.5, which isn't bad coming from where it came from. Again, Trump's economy is far outperforming Obama's. What I'm saying is that we're not on the cusp of some new age, right? Prices don't rise to maximum levels and then economic recoveries take off. It just doesn't work that way. Now, what's interesting, though, is that's not to say that prices don't go higher. What? What, Zach? What do you mean? What do you mean that the economy isn't going to boom yet prices can go higher? Ah, inflation. Inflation. You didn't think the Fed was really going to print $4 trillion and not eventually result in inflation, did you? Now, granted, it's taken a lot longer to show up than even I thought. And it's made a lot of people look really foolish. And to some degree, it made me look foolish, which is why I preach the disciplined approach. I thought we were going to see rampant inflation, yet our portfolios, we stayed with that disciplined, diversified approach. So we were still able to benefit, right? But it's coming. And so one of the things that we're looking at is when I talk about these record high valuations, and I talk about tech making up 25% of the S&P 500 in terms of market cap and value, and how that hasn't happened since 2000. And the last time that happened, the NASDAQ dropped 83%. And then, you know, let me just clarify something. It's not to mean that I think those companies are all going to suddenly do something bad or they're going to quit growing or anything like that. If these companies were at 16 times earnings and they were 25%, you could sit there and go, okay, you know, they deserve to be. A tech's taking over the world. But they're not, guys. That's why I was talking to you about how overpriced Netflix is. What you're seeing is people are valuing the future performance of this asset class at a level that's only happened once in history. And the revenues and the profits are nowhere close. And the reason that's a concern to us is one of the biggest wins in their back have been low interest rates. Because when you can borrow money super cheap, you don't need to have high profit margins. Right? If you're borrowing money at 1.5%, you don't need to make a lot of cash flow to keep borrowing and keep that whole thing going. But as that cost of borrowing creeps up, that game becomes much less easy to play and much more complicated. Because your interest expense on your debt is rising at the same time. So what we're looking at is we're saying, hey, and this goes right into our rebalancing conversation. If this keeps going on and we're wrong, which you always in investing, you've got to look at what do we think's going to happen and what if that doesn't happen? What if the opposite? You've got to be positioned to be able to benefit and be protected under any and all circumstances. It's the guy that's dead sure about what's going to happen that's the most dangerous. Remember, we've said before on the show, it's the bullet you don't see that gets you. There's also a saying in investing that it's not what you don't know that costs you the most money. It's what you know for sure that ends up not being true. Right? And I've had that happen in my career, and I'll never let it happen again. You got to cover all bases. Because you're going to be wrong. The greatest investors in the world are right 65% of the time, which means they're wrong 35 to 40% of the time. So when we're looking at the economy, what happens if we're wrong? What happens if we come out of maximum debt load for corporations, record low interest rates, record high valuations in stocks, and that's the beginning of an economic boom? If that's the case, inflation has to go up. The money is going to be made on the inflationary assets. Things that have been really unpopular for the last 8 or 9 years, gold, metals, iron ore, possibly, even that's a little bit different because you got a massive oversupply in China. Now, the tariffs should help a little bit on that level, but, you know, there will be some things that don't rally. Something that we've done well in over the last 2 years is, believe it or not, agriculture-related things. Agriculture has had horrific years in terms of record crop yield after record crop yield, which has driven down the price of stuff. So we're seeing farmers out there get 2 and 3 extra jobs just to keep the farm alive. That's usually a pretty good sign that you're getting, you know, close to a turning point, right? Just like it works on the high side. Just when we're saying it seems so good, the future's so bright, I got to wear shades. That's when you should be taking profits and limiting your risk. The flip side is when I see farmers who have previously been successful, been doing it for generations, know what they're doing, and they're having to take on extra jobs just to make the bills because the price of agriculture, byproducts, food, corn, all that kind of stuff has dropped so low that just to pay the bills or bringing on extra. We're looking for extremes, right? Things moving. So we right now, we want to rebalance the portfolios away from tech. Not completely. We're not trying to time it, but limit our exposure because tech's only been this expensive one other time in history. And when that happened, the NASDAQ dropped 83%. So caution's a better part of valor, right? Now, on the flip side is, what do we want to have a little more exposure to? Well, we always want, as value investors, we want to buy what's cheap. Right? We want to buy low, sell high. Whereas with tech right now, you're buying when it's been never been more expensive, and you're hoping it goes to never been more expensive times two. On the flip side, like I said, you've got opportunities and boring things, and nobody's been interested for the last 9 years, like metals, industrial metals, companies that make tractor trailers, agricultural companies. You know, and a lot of these are still expensive compared to history, but not at all compared to, you know, they're cheaper than the average on the S&P 500. And so we also want to make sure that while we're rebalancing from tech, where do we put that money? And if we look at the agricultural side or things that are sensitive to inflation, as high as tech has gotten, those things have gotten equally as low. So that's a great place to redeploy those funds. We're not giving you stock picks. I'm not telling you to bet on things. But I'm saying when we're rebalancing, truly rebalance. Don't look at the agricultural sectors or the metals sectors or the transportation sectors or what have you and go, oh, that's been dead money. I'm going to continue to ignore that. In finance, it's pretty funny. In my time at Russell Investments, we did... There are some brilliant people there that did some phenomenal work on mutual funds. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the 5-star, the star rating on mutual funds. Okay. And so they looked at trying to predict which funds, based on analytics and portfolio makeup and all this different stuff, which funds were going to outperform, which was going to be the next 5-star fund, which 5-star fund was going to go to a 3-star fund. And do you know what the number one correlation was that they found? If you took the ratings of mutual funds and you broke them into quintiles. So you separated them, you know, the top 20%, next 20%, you know, and you grouped them that way in terms of performance. The number one predictor, which is pretty useless, but the number one predictor was if the prerequisite was that the majority of the new 5-star funds were going to come from the bottom two performing quintiles, meaning the funds that were in the bottom 60, you know, or excuse me, were in the bottom 20 and 40%. So the 40% of the worst performers, that from that worst performing 40% would be the highest majority of mutual funds that in the next month or excuse me, the next quarter or the next year would be 5-star. So the worst, it would go from the worst to first. And consequently, the highest number of the most underperforming funds would come from the 5-star rated funds, right? It's just changeover. It's sector rotation. This is what happens. And this is why it's important to rebalance. And I'm not one of these guys that sets up an automatic rebalance. We look at it. We, you know, sometimes there's reason for these things. But when we really want to rebalance is when things break way outside historical norms, like tech is right now. And that's just prudent. Could it end up being wrong? Absolutely. Tech was expensive a year ago. Now, we didn't rebalance it a year ago, but we are now. And this gets back into the inflation tariff talk. Is it possible that this could be the first time that we have an economic breakout from peak debt? Yeah, sure. Is it possible Trump get elected? We saw that. Brexit, yes. Right? But if the economy has continued to keep going, if the economy is going to continue to pick up steam, you're going to see it in the manufacturing and the inflationary sectors. You're going to see it in agriculture. You're going to see it in you know, this anything that requires steel, manufacturing. You're going to see it because it's got to bleed over. It has to. So we're really making sure that that rebalance finds its way into things that are going to benefit from inflation, which is another reason why we don't want to be in bonds. It's the worst place we can be. And the interesting thing about adding on the tariffs is the tariffs are 100% inflationary. Now, like I said, I want to give Trump some credit. I'm not going to sit here and assume that he's going to stick with this and he's going to keep boosting up the tariffs. Part of me thinks he's being dumb like a fox, and he's using it to strengthen negotiation. One of the funniest things I think about this is how China's out there talking about how this is damaging and this isn't fair and there's, you know, it's going to cause problems. And the irony is there that I don't think that there's another major or major economy or developed economy that has more protectionist measures than China does. So it's definitely the pot calling the kettle black. The irony is a mile deep. Okay. But they're concerned about it, and rightfully so. And, but make no mistake, it's inflationary. It makes prices higher. And it does it in a sector that's been largely ignored over the last 9 years. So just like we want to be concerned about tech, and look, you may think I'm wrong. That's fine. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But remember, finance is not a game of precision. It's a game of, you know, best guess. It's a game of best, you know, inclinations and disciplined approaches and realizing, knowing full well that we're not going to, you know, if your goal is to what we call top tick a stock and sell it at its 52-week high or sell it at its all-time high and get out before it collapses, just let me just save you some drama. You're not going to do it. If you sell a stock at its all-time high or you buy a stock at its all-time low, it's blind luck. Now, it's not blind luck that you sold it when it was expensive or you bought it when it was cheap. I'm just saying if you get the nail on the head, it's just blind luck. And this is coming from a guy that went to cash or U.S. Treasuries 100% in November of 2007. The reason that we made that move ended up being proved correctly. The timing of it was 100% luck. I say it all the time. I also thought we'd see maybe a 20, 25, 30% pullback. The market dropped 64% top to bottom from the end of 2007 till March of 2009. And I'm not going to lie to you. It surprised me. I remember sitting there going, thank God we did what we did. But whew. But it's a great anecdotal proof of, now, again, we do things a little bit different. I was managing much more aggressive stuff. I talk about not timing the markets. I would never make that move again, despite how well it turned out, just because I know the odds. We were managing much more aggressive accounts back then and almost like a hedge fund manner. So we're dealing with very little retail money. So completely different scenario. But you don't want to try to time markets. But what I'm saying is I'm even saying one of my greatest investment calls was lucky. The timing of it was lucky. I sold literally, I think the Dow was 14,200 or something. It was like 30 points away from its all-time high. Blind luck, the timing of it. But what we do know is that things that are cheap tend to go up in price. Things that are really expensive tend to go down. It can take years. It can take months. Who knows? But we got to play the percentages. And so right now, the thing that I don't think anybody is paying enough attention to, the area of the marketplace, especially considering these tariffs, is anything inflationary. So when we're rebalancing our account, make sure that we're not just focused on the expense and the need to lessen our exposure to tech, or not lessen our exposure, bring tech back in, sell enough tech to make it, it reflects the traditional weighting of the S&P, because right now we're 2.5 times above the traditional weighting. And where we deploy that money, a great place to deploy that money is into the sectors that are the most beaten down. Those happen to be inflationary. I think that's a great opportunity. And again, it fits into our disciplined approach, right? We're just rebalancing. We're not betting. We're not going all in. We're going to reduce our exposure to this most expensive sector. We're going to increase our exposure marginally to this cheapest sector. That's it. And that's called discipline. So anyway, and if you want to hear about how we're doing this or how we identify these things, how we're protecting our clients, as always, call us, 866-779-RISK. We're going to have the client question of the week coming up next, and we'll talk about it. But it's my favorite part of the week. This one was a little bit different, I will say. Little fireworks. Again, a foreshadowing, the client question of the week. It was a first-timer. I haven't even told you this, Jerry. It was a good one. But stick with us. Also, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com, see some of the information there. We're going to be upgrading that site here over the next month. We've been working on it, taking a little bit longer, but we're going to have more information up there for you. And you can also schedule an appointment online, and we can just do a 15-minute risk review over the phone. So anyway, give us a call. And thanks for sticking with us. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back with the client question of the week and the drama surrounding it. I need like a drum roll. I need like a sound effects board. Yeah, there you go. There's the producer. Anyway, so stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
You bet I'm a client, Zach, and it all started with all this great info you cover in Common Sense Investing, and I would recommend that you check it out. Call now. Get your free copy. 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. And we went, due to my ranting, we went a little bit over. So we're going to try to squeeze this in quick. But I it was too good. And I think I give you guys the straight scoop. So it's not always perfect in managing money and things like that. But I had this was a first timer for client question of the week. And I just had to share it. So met with a guy. He says, hey, I've been listening to your show for a while now. And you know, wanted to get your take on some things. And I said, oh, great. You know, yeah. So we sat down, we met. And he said, you know, I almost didn't meet with you. And I said, oh, really? But you called. Well, why? And he goes, well, you've been dead wrong. And I kind of was puzzled and looked at him. And he goes, you've been talking about the markets being expensive for a year and a half. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you couldn't have been more wrong. They've gone straight up. And I laughed and I said, yeah. Now, did you hear me ever tell you to sell stocks? And he looks at me kind of quizzically and he goes, well, what does expensive mean? I said, I don't know. My house is really expensive right now. I haven't sold it. My house right now is above where it was. Somebody tried to sell it. I think they did. All right, whatever. But it's above its level that it peaked at in 2007. I said, I haven't sold it. And he goes, so you haven't been selling stocks? I said, no. I've been saying over and over and over on the show, look, guys, and you've heard me say it, we talk more about the risks because that's what we should be talking about. Stocks have never been higher. They've never been valued more. If we're wrong and there are no risks, great. We've entered the phase of risk-free investing. Congratulations. We're all going to be millionaires in like 3 years. It's going to be great. What should we be focused on? And this is essentially what I said to him. And he goes, oh. And he goes, well, I've been selling stocks because you said they were expensive. And I said, you got to listen to everything that I'm saying. Now, do we take profits? Part of the rebalancing we were talking about earlier in the show? Yes. That's called a disciplined approach. And you should do it. If people disagree, they can disagree all they want. They're the same people that got wiped out in 99. They're the same people that got wiped out in 2008. We want to make sure that we have exposure, that we're well diversified. Meaning that we're not trying to pick this one thing or that one thing that's going to be the ticket. Conversely, we also want to make sure we don't have too much money in one thing. And right now, if you own an S&P 500 ETF or a typical mutual fund, you've got a heavier weighting in tech than you have at any time in history. So it's all about managing your risk. That's what we talk about. Anyway, we're out of time. Thank you guys so much for being with us. As always, you can call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK or download our podcasts at knowyourriskradio.com. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. You've been listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.